All right, we just open up this time for any comments or thoughts or questions after our meeting time together. Go ahead, Lori, you want to say something?
As you were reading in Revelation about the outcome of human history and the glorious verses in 19, 20, 21, 22, and then what we read today, I was thinking how those verses, we read them and they're so wonderful, but we know, as Brother Sparks would say, this doesn't come about willy-nilly. You know how he says that? Willy-nilly, like, well, the rapture's just a date on the calendar. God knows when it is, and, you know, we'll be raptured. And then the bride and the groom coming together, and, you know, all this, that it has nothing to do with us. You know, we'll just be there. We'll just be a part of it. And but that's false, because we have everything to do with it. And it's just all this understanding that we've gotten through the years, and revelation that we've gotten from God's word through the years, just was coming together as you were reading, especially those verses. But I was thinking also, I have to kind of give you a background for what I'm going to share, that I began reading that book, The Enslaved Queen. It's really horrible. But the first, I don't know what the rest of the book is, but the first few chapters are all about Mengele. And to see what he did to all of you, you know, I told Doug, nobody shared real details, but I'm seeing the details in this book, and it's just off the scale. It's just so horrible. And but I know that he was possessed by, I don't know, maybe Satan himself, because of what he was doing to the little children, and right here in America, as well as, of course, I'm sure in Europe. But he really was specifically hired to come over here and do all the programming and the splitting and the mind control. But since we know what God's purpose is, and we know the outcome of this, we know why he was doing it. And it was to prevent what we read in this chapter. It says, is Christ worthy of our abandonment to him? Well, everything in your programming, everything in what happened to you as children would say, no, he is not worthy. I mean, the very fact that you all are sitting here, and that any survivor that's going on with the Lord is going on with the Lord, is a complete miracle and a demonstration of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Because after reading a little, just a little of what he did in this calculated form of mind control, and now to know it's been handed over to the Nephilim, and to know that they're doing even worse, it's a miracle. We never can ever doubt that the power of God is not being manifest. We keep saying we're looking for it. We want to see more power. You know, no, the very fact you're sitting here is the power of God. And the very fact that you are coming to a place, little by little, and so am I, of being able to be completely given to the Lord, that was the reason why the abuse happened. Because it's only a people that are, it says, it's a matter of our appreciation of the Lord Jesus as to how far we will forsake all others and cleave only to him. It is a matter of whether we have come really to recognize his utter and absolute trustworthiness, that we can commit ourselves not only for this life but for all eternity to him, and have no longer any interest of our own, to have everything bound up with him. Then he says, am I worthy of your trust? Have I merited your confidence? Do I embody the standard which will give you complete rest in handing everything over to me? And the complete abandonment to him in all matters of judgment, decision, and the way to be taken. Isn't that what our daily life is all about? Isn't that what our sanctification is all about? Are we trusting him? Are we resting in him? Are we believing him? And it's only that sort of people who have utterly abandoned themselves to Him that will be raptured, that will be a part of that company and a part of that bride. And so I see the whole attack is because Lucifer, Satan, knew what God was after. And since he blew it, and he was no longer that covering, and he knew the body of Christ was going to be that final manifestation of the glory of God.
Well, he didn't know the body of Christ. He just saw
a man.
Jesus, but then he had no idea that
it would be
Jesus
corporate.
Would become a corporate Christ.
Right.
It was far beyond.
Yeah.
It would embody all of the Jesus that is his defeat.
Until Pentecost.
Yeah.
And then at Pentecost, he knew. Yes, and so I just see all of this that happened to you little ones in such a calculated way. It was just to so complicate the life of faith. And whatever happened to me, and just even having an old sin nature, just the struggle in abandoning ourselves to God and completely, daily, giving over to His Lordship and trusting Him. How can you trust a God who let this happen to you?
Or in the beginning, these people after salvation, there's a manifestation of Nimrod, Antichrist, Jesus, who comes in and actually rapes them.
Yes.
So the deepest level identified with the birth identity, they have an association of Jesus raping them.
Yes.
And then the escape off that will carry the anger of, I hate this God. Look what he's done to me.
Right.
Right at the deepest core.
Exactly. And this is so, it takes a sick, malevolent genius mind to do this. But it takes the love and the power of God to undo it.
Patience.
And yes, and I just see, it just is so clear to me. You know, I'm seeing the big picture. I can't even really express it. But the big picture of why God allowed it to happen and why Satan did it in this generation and the need for all of us to, you know, individually be completely abandoned to the Lord. And I see that in my own life. Just little by little, there's been no more... Lord, I have no interests of my own. You know, more of I'm able to say that. Our household, our life, to be completely given over to God, 100%. And I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I know I'm more than I was 6 months ago, 3 months ago, a year ago. And so if I have struggled being abandoned to the Lord, I can't imagine how difficult it's been for those of you who have been abused. And what that looks like, because he says divine fullness demands that Jesus is absolutely Lord. Absolutely. That means absolute trust, unquestioned obedience. That divine fullness is by the imparting of his miraculous life. To use the symbolic language again, it is by the power of his blood, and it is all a question of doing what he says. And the bride is made up in all generations of those who have that martyr spirit. And that, so constitutionally, what we're seeing in Revelation 19, 21, 22, we're seeing a bride that has lived like what we read today. We're seeing people whose lives were not dear to themselves. They laid their lives down. So it's not just willy-nilly. It's not just going to happen someday. It's happening because we are saying yes to God. It's happening because we are trusting Him when everything within us screams not to. And all that Satan has done, it has been against the accomplishment of this, of Jesus Christ being Lord. Because that's the key. And that's when our hearts will be one with the Spirit and we will say, come. And nothing else will matter in life.
Anyone else have any comments? Questions?
You know, I was thinking, because, like, you know, how you were saying, it's like everything is set against us trusting God. And it's yet deep down inside, in the deepest essence of who I am, there's just, I know who God is, and I know He is faithful. And it's like even that, it's like, oh yeah, I write by Jesus. But it's like, no, in the deepest essence of who I am, I know who my God is. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
That's how you get here, isn't it? That's how you get out of that.
Yeah, and it's just like, because I was thinking, because it's like, I mean, you had to work through all that, but it's like just, I don't know. There, and maybe that is that, which is not touched by, it's like, even though I went all through that, there's just, I know who my God is. So I don't know how to word it, but I was just thinking about that.
Because he's like, God is greater than the evil.
Yeah, exactly. He is. He doesn't even, and I mean, I always think, and so then how that work gets worked out experientially, well, what does it mean? I mean, that's, well, for him to be unquestionably Lord, so that if something, like in the heavenlies or someone, looks at our lives, is there any question about who my God is? Is there any question? Or every single error seen or not seen? Because that, yeah, and that's just been my... prayer, because I think it was so defined so perfectly in that 10 shekels in the shirt. And it's like, would you serve him even if you went to hell in the end? Mm-hmm. Even if you did, he is still worthy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and it's like, it's like in the deepest sense of my very being, I know that.
Mm-hmm. So. Of course, to serve him as he is would be the guarantee that it wouldn't be possible to go to hell.
Right, exactly.
It's an oxymoron.
But yeah, but it is. But it's still, it's just a thought really struck me. But then how it gets worked out experientially, well, then, you know, I get in a flash, and then it's like what, who describes it, it's like the old man, like, tries to come back out, and you're like, ah! So experientially it has to be worked out, but yes. I know he's faithful.
Well, this lady, if I may just share this, I wish I had a book, if I could read it. And she, I don't know, I haven't read but just a little bit, but I don't know that she's a Christian. I think Addie said there's no, yeah, you read it, didn't you? Mm-hmm. And, but there was, early on she says that Mengele was all evil. She says, my parents, you know, who were dissociated, they were evil sometimes and then they were good sometimes. But he was all evil, all the time, and so he would work to go to fragment her and split her, but just being made in the image of God, guess what? She still had a part that was moral. She still, and she says, I took all my morality and I stood in this one part, and like she reserved that. That's why I, and then she actually went on from there about questioning whether it was a God or not. So I have hope for her that she may turn to the Lord, or maybe hasn't gotten to a Christian heart, really, because she's not finished with her journey yet. That's what I'm hoping. Because she really did have that sense of
righteousness.
Of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's like the imprint of God. Mm-hmm. And she, he could not get all of her. He could not. Mm-hmm. She disobeyed him many, many times. So it was really fascinating.
Right. Anything else? All right. Was she in the camps, or was this?
No, it was in the 40s, 47.
Because Mengele, and I've said this before, was the closest thing to a father I ever had, because there were two sides of Mengele that he manifested, and I think that was true, wasn't it? There was that side which was like loving and tender and kind, and then there was the other side.
And they all report that. Even in the Out of the Ashes, he's depicted that way.
But it's hard, as you get closer to the truth, it's hard to really separate it out, because you see then that the kindness and goodness, even that was so manipulated to draw you out and trust.
Yeah.
And so forth. So
yeah. At the deepest level, but still,
yes.
There was that.
Oh yeah.
There was the bizarreness, the tenderness.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was putting it on.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. Manifestation of it.
Yeah.
Was he fully evil? There wasn't really a tenderness, but there was that which manifested tenderness and a kindness in those moments.
To get his way, yes. To do what he was doing.
He knew how to draw
set
it.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, he knew how to draw out the heart of the child.
Right.
Just like Satan, the angel of light.
Yeah.
So it's what he would manifest. Satan would do that, put that on.
Yeah.
That's Lucifer.
Remember... somebody bought a book that was an account of many of the twins that survived Auschwitz.
Did you? Lois had that.
Yeah, I remember when I read that. There were some who had out of it. They had blocked everything, and they only had good memories.
Wow.
One that that's all they could. Because I don't think they were Christians. Not all of them. Many of them, I don't think, manifested anything. But they were so affected that all they could bring forth from that was something good. And they blocked out everything else.
Yeah, that's the very basis of the deepest level of the splitting process to survive. That is the foundation of denial. That is why denial functions as it functions, because to go into any other reality, there would not have been an ability to survive in the natural. Yeah, that's really good. Anyone else? Okay. All right, well, we look forward to the next two installments. We'll probably work on doing those together. And just appreciate your prayers during this time so that everything God wants to do between now and Germany, it's really in place. For the grace to know just how long I go on the fast, because I never really believed in fast that much. I know they're in the Bible. Other people do it. But I haven't seen a whole lot of fruit in my own life. But the Lord has ordained this one for me. I mean, it's God's chosen fast. Because Isaiah 58, there is a God-chosen fast. There was the fasting that they were doing there in Isaiah 58, but it was just routine. It was more self-interest. It wasn't really centered in the Lord's interest. But then there's God's chosen fast, which is clearly defined there. And so that, I thought about that, and I said, so this is, I'm stepping into that. So I have grace for that. So, how long? And what does he want to accomplish? And what does this mean in relation to an IRA assembly here? My marriage with Lori? All of that, which there needs to be some restoration just from the years of attrition and things that have affected us. And it's not a complaint, it's just a part of the reality. But just for us as an assembly, how do we go forth as his ambassadors to Germany? Because when we go, we take all of you. It's you all are represented. What does the Lord have in mind for us being there that we don't even know right now? And what does he want us to know about what his agenda is before we get there? Knowing when we step in, when the agenda is actually realized, it'll be above and beyond anything that we could ever know, because that's the nature of faith. Faith steps in obedience to the light that God has given, whatever direction He's given. We step into that, and the Lord's purpose is realized. Then that's all that matters, and that we would be so synchronized. There'd be the synchronization. Amanda's there, Herbert's there as a translator, and we'll be there. And when it comes to the overall cueing and direction, I believe the mandate is on me. It really is. I have to walk in the mantle to where everything that happens in a sequence that it passes through the responsibility that God has given me. And even with Herbert, and otherwise he wouldn't be inviting us there. Okay, so it's a de facto reality. that Amanda's looked to us, Herbert is looking to us, and so that I would be synchronized on the headship of Jesus Christ. So it would function the same way corporately that what I saw for 29 days in China with Phil. There was an absolutely utter perfect synchronization in every house church meeting we met in 7 different provinces. We never determined. I was always the first one to speak because I was the one that was invited there. And so I'd do the introduction, whatever that would be. It may take one or two sessions, depending. Then I'd sit down and let Phil speak. And Phil would just speak, whatever. I don't care how long it was. And it would usually go one or two times, and I would go up and it would just alternate until we were finished. Maybe 18 times in 2.5 days. And it was that way without any planning. No planning. And and there was no tension whatsoever. So let's pray that whatever God needs to do in us, that whoever needs to be fully forward is fully forward without reserve. And when they're in reserve, we're at rest. You know, whoever's there presenting, it's just a synchronized. We just be in sync with the Lord. That's all. And I don't think that's an effort, but that this is what I'm praying, that as vessels, that there would be the divine enmeshment that would present a whole and complete heart and mind and purpose of God in this event. Yeah.
So just reading these articles, I think it's marvelous how the Holy Spirit has led you to for these articles, because it really is in preparation for Germany, because like Lori was sharing, as the bride is being prepared. And then the next chapter I was reading this morning about, and just the very thing that you said about being totally in sync with the Holy Spirit. And how is that as a bride, as He is our head? I mean, I can't articulate it, but in that, it just struck me, oh Lord, that's our prayer. To really be in such, if the cross has come in such in a measure, you know, as a culmination. I mean, we know your history. I mean, all of our histories, there has been a measure of Christ, of the cross that has come in order for that fullness of Christ to be able to be fully released. And so I think the next article really describes that. Hmm. And a marvelous way to be in that sink. So I mean, that's what's been on my mind is a real picture of the bridegroom. Hmm.
Yes. All right. Amen. Anything else? Well, we thank you for this gift you've given us, the gift of being together, assembling, and thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the head of the church corporately, and you're the pastor of this assembly. You're the chief pastor. So we just stand into your provision for the rest of this day. Some of the follow-up we have, we just commit all this into your hands. We just receive from you all the grace that is already ours in Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.